still have an opportunity to do it. I was sure some people were back and the chicken at that time.
Process and the context for your conversations. At the next meeting, we will build on these conversations and then actually ask that you, as a group, generate specific recommendations for consideration by the board, and then act as a group on the recommendations that are generated so that you sort out what you want to present, have presented to the board, from what you don't as a group. And we haven't yet laid out what the methodology for that conversation will be, but it will be open, it will be transparent, it will be participatory. In the way, it's unclear at this point whether or not we'll go back into small groups or do this, do the recommendations through some whole group process. But we'll figure that out without a lot of difficulty between now and the next meeting. That's kind of like a candid process point. Okay. So about 10 minutes per group for you to share what your findings are in terms of with regards to answers to the questions, and then also for any questions or feedback to come from the group at large. And if we average about 10 minutes a group, but certainly less than 15, then that will allow time for public comment at the end and for us to adjourn the meeting in an orderly way. So I want to actually give it to the chair to manage the report back process, and if there is a need at any point for support or facilitation, then we'll play that role.
Okay. All right, so thank you. I know all of you had some pretty substantive discussions within your group, which is what we hoped would happen. What I do want to do, just a little bit in terms of the public comment, we'll have public comment towards the end of the meeting in general, but I also want to, because I know we had some folks who participated or observed the small groups, to give an opportunity for public comment after the group has presented its information. And when presenting information, as Omo mentioned, talk about, you know, some of the proposed answers to the questions. And if you got to a point of making recommendations and had some consensus around that, or even a little bit of disagreement and questions, sort of give us that a little bit as well, just as a preview of what we'll dive more into at the next meeting. So any particular group want to start, or should I just go in order?
Order.
Order. All right. So group one, and let us know again what your learning questions were.
Okay. So the first question, we did not put it up there, but does Urban Jill meet the federal guidelines? And we all agreed yes. The funding would not be provided if it was not meeting the federal guidelines. So any comments from my group on that?
clarification. So what's written up there says yes with one dissent. Did that change?
No, that's
question two. Okay.
Yeah, we didn't put question one up because there was nothing to write.
No problem. Thank you.
Okay. So question two, is it an emergency preparedness program? We all agreed yes, although John wanted to dissent because he felt, and you can see it, John, that there was only some components of Urban Shield that met the preparedness components.
So the FEMA definition is that emergency preparedness is a continuous cycle of planning, organizing, training, equipping, exercising, evaluating, and taking corrective action in an effort to ensure effective coordination during incident response. And my dissent is that, yes, it is exercising and evaluating emergency preparedness. We have not received as a task force information on how Urban Shield actually organizes or takes corrective action for emergency preparedness. And so I can't weigh in on that. And I dissent on whether it is training and equipping, because the information that I've received from both Rio and Berkeley Police indicate that it is not actually training. It is testing training capabilities, but it is not training. And in lay terms, equipping would mean providing equipment, and Urban Shield does not actually provide equipment as part of it. So that's the reason for that dissent.
Yeah, so what we found is during the discussion that there was different understanding of what the definition is. And so when we reviewed the FEMA definition of planning, we said, yes, Urban Shield definitely does planning. There's a very extensive 12-month planning process around it. And is there organization? Yes, it's highly structured, organized. There's different stakeholders brought in. All of the activities collectively as a whole for Urban Shield, one of the outcomes is preparedness. And Urban Shield does do training. As me, as a being a responder, we do say that it is equipping. It's equipping the firefighters. They're bringing in their equipment. They're testing it. It's other law enforcement bringing in equipment and using it. So we have a difference of understanding on equipping. And then exercise, it is an exercise. There is evaluation process through the Urban Shield activities. And correct me if I'm understanding that there is a corrective action plan at the end, a hot wash in determining what worked, what didn't work, and how to improve Urban Shield and make corrections for the next year. Is that correct?
There was an after action report completed with recommendations on how to resolve the gaps that are identified.
Yeah, so, and that's what, John, you weren't aware of it. That was my understanding too, that there was an after action report, correct?
And just to note, we, as a task force, we have not received that information.
That's what's important.
Yeah. So the three of us in our group did agree that Urban Shield is a preparedness program. But we also said in our group that there is room for improvement. There is room to make expand the preparedness activities, involve the community, and John's recommendation was to the exercise to focus on emergency preparedness efforts on prevention and recovery from critical emergencies. And so his recommendation was equal to or more than what the response activities are. We believe that there's some discussion around this because we had a great lengthy discussion around recovery and how difficult it is to actually test, evaluate, and exercise recovery. So there, some of the strategies or suggestions to get to this objective is to do workshops and maybe a large broadband workshop, incorporate the community and other stakeholder groups, so enhance the community profile, which could include, but it's not limited to, the VOADS, which is your volunteer organization. Assisting in disaster things, yeah. CBOs, your community-based organizations, your NGOs, your non-governmental organizations, include your faith-based, your CERTs, your NERTs, any of your community preparedness teams, Salvation Army, the Red Cross, all of those agencies.
And just one example of that is that in San Francisco, through their own efforts, they've started an earthquake preparedness thing that has a five-year vision and is involving other jurisdictions besides San Francisco in those efforts. So it's something that can be built up over time.
At the center, every April, everyone's invited.
And these other suggestions, we finished our discussion on question two. So these are just other topics that we had shared when it came to the other questions. So I won't go over that now.
Actually, would you really quickly follow
up? Okay, sure. So John's recommendation, and we all agree that we could identify and solicit non-UASI funds for this multi-jurisdictional disaster preparedness exercise, really focusing on preparedness, maybe earthquake. We had a lot of discussion about what funding streams are available, and there's not a lot of other opportunities. We did, just at the last second, talk about the vendor show, recommendation to eliminate. I have a recommendation, let's review it. Let's identify who's invited to the vendor show and maybe enhance and improve it so it has more focus on preparedness. And then an idea that came out is possibly looking at the name of Urban Shield. And all of these are just discussion items. They're not our recommendations or proposals moving forward. And then the implementation of the 12 guidelines that was adopted in the sheriff's letter in January, we would like to have an update on those guidelines and just kind of where we're at, so that if there's some gaps in those guidelines, we could actually focus on some strategies and solutions to enhance those outcomes.
And just to say, part of that is not just an update on them, but some transparency about how they're being implemented, with what criteria, who is in charge of implementing them.
Great. Anything else, Cheryl?
No, yeah.
Great job.
Okay. And so we'll take some public comment at this time related to Group 1's discussion.
Susan,
Susan, if you want to add something.
Susan, did you want to add something?
I think it was pretty covered.
Okay.
Okay.
No problem. Great. Okay. The one only other thing I'll add in terms of the discussion that I added, said to the group was, you know, when you look at the FEMA definition, not everything that is funded by Urban Shield or UASI money covers everything in that, so that there are oftentimes pieces that are covered, and that's the way that I've seen it forever. So again, one funding stream doesn't cover all pieces of what's described in the FEMA definition, but it does cover pieces of it. All right, yes?
I'm not sure if I was completely understanding the point about the preparation in terms of the FEMA